You're listening to The Point. There are four Democrats and two Republicans who've kicked off campaigns to become the next state senator to represent the Plymouth and Barnstable district. Today is the deadline to turn in nomination signatures to the Secretary of State to qualify for the March 3rd primary ballot. We begin our one-on-one conversations with the candidates with Democrat Susan Moran from Falmouth. She's a Falmouth selectman and member of the Barnstable County Assembly of Delegates. Welcome.
Hi, Mindy. Thanks for having me on.
So for listeners who are not familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for this seat.
Sure. I've been working on numerous projects in the region for a number of years, and I've really seen enough that I know this region, the Plymouth-Barnstable District, needs a fighter to go to the State House and fund the initiatives. We're on a springboard. There's a lot of good that could be happening, and now is the time. We have infrastructure issues. We can't let them get worse. We have traffic issues. We can't let those get worse. We've got to start fighting for what this district needs, and we have to do it now. And that's why I want to go to the State House. I've been working in local government, both as chair of the Board of Selectmen in Falmouth. I chair the Barnstable County Economic Development, and I'm a legislator in the Barnstable County Regional Government, and I'm deputy chair of that body. And I've had an opportunity to work with many levels of government and to really move a lot of projects. I am a fighter. I grew up oldest of five girls, north of Boston. My dad was in a wheelchair. He's a veteran. And he basically taught me, you know, if you work hard, you know, you can really make a difference. He was politically active. I got the bug from him. And I also got the fight from him, which, thank goodness, I really needed when I was diagnosed with breast cancer at 39. I had a two-year-old and was told I wasn't going to see his fifth birthday. Well, you probably know Jake's now graduated, and I fought hard. I had, you know, lots of treatments, a couple of years of trying cases in a wig because I was bald. And it's that kind of fight where you realize you can't give up. You realize you got to pull yourself up from your bootstraps, and it takes something and it builds something in you that you really know how to get to a goal. I'm a facilitator as a lawyer. I've been a business lawyer and a litigator for years. I've been on the West Coast. I briefed in the Supreme Court a couple of times, and that's the kind of goal-oriented person I am, with a very big interest in listening. I think the best initiatives are successful when you have buy-in from all sides. That being said, when something needs to be done, I have a talent and a way to really look at how that can happen without being stopped by the obstacles, I would say.
And you describe yourself as a centrist.
I don't like that word. I describe myself really as I know that people have said that. I'm a Democrat who believes in fiscal practicality. I've been as a business lawyer, the minute I see a good program, I immediately think, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to pay for this without putting a burden on middle-class people who have to pay for so many other things?
You mentioned you're a listener and you want to try to get buy-in from all sides. That's like really hard to do, buy-in from all sides, isn't it?
It really is, and that's what my, call it training over the last 5.5 years as a local government person, where I'm, I stuck my chin out and I've said, I have a position and this is what my constituents need and want. And when I hear another view, I'm open to it. And I really want to see, where does that come from? How can we get to yes? And that's what local government is great at. When you have someone who's been a selectman, when you have someone who's been an Assembly of Delegates member, who's worked with businesses, that's someone who's trained to do the job at the State House.
Two things you mentioned were infrastructure and traffic. Now, traffic, of course, it's a perennial issue. I think the very first show we did here 19 years ago was traffic. And it just seems to have gotten worse. So what are your thoughts on how that issue is addressed?
I I look at the traffic problem is something that affects everybody's daily life. You could get an hour more of family time if you weren't sitting on Route 3. I've been part of the bridge fix team since day one. It's at this point looking like the Army Corps of Engineers is going to build two new bridges that will be able to not be as disrupted as we would be if one of them went down and a new one came up. I'm looking for opportunities where we can have maybe an electric train, where we leave cars on one side of the bridge, where we really look at, you know, our climate change issues, and we look at this as an opportunity. The bridges, you know, we want them to be the future for the next 80 years. And I've been working at the State House. I've gone to meetings on extending the bike path. Tom Kerr, the Cape Cod RTA, has some terrific programs, and he's working with the schools so that young folks grow up with public transportation as part of their lives. We build the regional policy plan really is focused on building where we have current infrastructure. That's the most inexpensive way to do it. That's the way people want to live. We want affordable housing for everyone. And that means we want to have easy transportation.
Now, of course, this district spans both sides of the bridges. And as you're mentioning, we're looking at the economics and design. What about tolls? There's been this talk of maybe tolls. Is that something you would support?
Well, I think we've got to look at creative ways of financing these big projects, right? Infrastructure costs money. I think that there could be a way to use tolls where folks that commute and have to go across the bridges to get to work get some kind of break in that. I don't think we should put the burden on working folks who are just trying to support their families. I don't think that would build the economy very well. We have a tourism economy that we really want to make sure we protect. That's foundational to a lot of our local businesses, seasonal businesses. So I think everything has to be considered through a prism that says who does it rest too heavy on? And that we look at it from a 360 view.
We're talking with Susan Moran. 866-999-4626 is our number if you have a question about where Susan stands on a particular issue. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Patty is calling from Hyannis. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Patty.
I'm curious as to where you stand, how you would vote on a sanctuary state. Massachusetts.
Sure.
One.
On a sanctuary state, I like the model that Falmouth has had. Chief Dunn has been very outspoken about the fact that they're not going to be he's not going to be a tool of immigration, and he basically is just doing his job. So I think that there has to be a separation. I think we have to have a path to citizenship, that we've got folks who have been here, have families here, have worked hard, have to have an opportunity to be full citizens.
866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Let's talk about another perennial issue, which is affordable housing. We hear a lot from younger families who really struggle to make it here. They can't, I mean, you look at the prices of houses, unless they're inheriting from a family member, it's really difficult. We don't have a lot of rental properties. What are your thoughts on this issue? Obviously, there isn't, you know, a silver bullet that's going to solve this problem. But what are some of your thoughts on how we can keep some of these younger families?
So this is a problem we have to solve now. It is killing our economy. It's killing our families. Our young folks are just giving up and leaving the district. And it's the same problem on both sides of the canal, as you said. I think we can be creative at the State House and look at some tax credit plans where landlords who rent to folks who need a more reasonable rent can get those credits, because the housing economy has become a business in and of itself, especially in seasonal places like southeastern Massachusetts, where the folks get what they would in a week in the summer would normally be a whole month's rent. So I think that we've got to step up at the State House, provide credit to folks who will offer housing at affordable prices.
What about affordability for seniors? We're seeing a lot of seniors on fixed income. We're hearing this from some of the food banks. Seniors who used to be donating are now showing up asking for help. A lot of seniors also struggling.
Well, and that's a problem that started a while ago. Folks are having to work longer. Folks are having to dig into their retirement earlier. And I think that the affordable housing is a issue for everyone, for every single person, whether you're a new family or you're someone who wants to, you know, have a living arrangement where it's convenient. You don't have to drive so much. You want available bus transportation, public transportation. I think that the State House can do more by providing landlords and property owners with tax credits to offer homes at reasonable prices. I think that's what we have to do, and we just have to commit to it.
Where do you see our efforts in preparing for impacts of climate change, in particular sea level rise?
So as the chair of the Board of Selectmen in Falmouth, and with the great idea of Doug Brown, my colleague as a select board member, that Falmouth was one of the first communities, I believe the first on the Cape, to actually create a climate action committee. And it's a two-prong approach. I mean, you have to look at really startling plans such as retreat, and you have to look at, do you put another $1 million into a beach access road, which might wash away with the next storm, or do you plan to, you know, have an entirely new road built? And that changes property values. It has to be something that's done carefully. But we cannot wait any longer. And every Cape town, every Plymouth town is Plymouth and Kingston, Pembroke, the entire area is looking at ways to improve their infrastructure. And we have to invest in programs that will carry us into the future.
We're looking at that. Some of those decisions can be really tough. Let's take Surf Drive here in Falmouth, for example. I mean, how many times have we repaired that road over and over? Yet we have, it'd be very difficult to say, okay, you know, we're no longer going to use this road. And you have houses there where people are maybe fighting, going, no, wait a minute, you can't close my road. We're seeing, you know, the construction changing where we're on the stilts now. So these houses that used to be ground level and stilts, but there's still some of those lower houses, and the houses behind the stilts used to have an ocean view, who do not anymore. A lot of emotions there. And you know, people obviously are going to fight for their property as long as they can. So these are some really tough decisions.
It really tough. And I think the key is to give folks advance notice, to communicate. We did the same thing. And as chair of the Board of Selectmen in Falmouth, I created a communications committee where I actually, the entire board, reached out to folks, and we made a citizens committee that had direct access to town experts, to state experts, and to be able to be kept advised of what's going on. You know, we're talking about things, we've got to plan 50 years ahead. So we're giving folks information right now. If you are in a shoreline community, you may have to have changes in your area in the next 10 years, in the next 15 years. If we don't start the conversation now, then we're not going to get input from those concerned folks who might have an idea or might have a specific thing that should be paid attention to. We're listening.
Yeah. We're talking with Susan Moran, one of the Democrats running to for state senator to replace Vinnie DiMaceto. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. If you have a question for Susan about where she stands on a particular issue, that's 866-999-4626, or you can shoot us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Another issue that's really big in this district, of course, is the decommissioning of Pilgrim, and I know you've got some strong feelings about that.
I absolutely do. I was just at the State House this week testifying as Deputy Speaker of the Assembly of Delegates, and it's really alarming that Holtec is being allowed to scale back the protections of the community. Things as, you know, the alarms not sounding, things that folks in the community have depended on. In fact, folks on the other side of the bridge, the fallout, you know, would be a disaster in a wide, wide region. It would go further than the Cape. Some talk about Nova Scotia. And there is resistance to the Cape delegation efforts to put a couple of Cape representatives on the board to keep directly informed. We have, you know, folks that work in public protection and who disaster preparedness, and they want to just do their jobs, and they've got to be let into the room to be able to do that well. That's what we're fighting. Senator Sear has done a great job. Senator DiMacedo had some worked with him, as well as Sarah Peake testified the same day, and in fact, Rep. Fernandez was on the panel. So one of the great things about the Cape delegation is there's a really good working together and really good listening and coming together across the aisle. And as senator, I will continue that, as I have as a Board of Selectmen member.
A lot of small business in the district. What are your plans along the lines of economic development?
So I have a really heavy focus on economic development because it's public-private partnerships, I think, that can take tax burdens away from folks. If you look at economic development in the tourism sense, there's a, you know, it's OPM, other people's money coming into the district. That's a great asset. I think we can do more at the State House. I think we should be looking at legislation that promotes ocean farming. You know, I think that, you know, you can farm right down to the bottom. It's something that working folks with families, women, moms can do at home. We have a great shellfishing propagation folks on the Cape and in all the coastal communities. I think that's something that we should be developing more, and I intend to bring that to the State House as one of my ideas for economic development.
When we talk about the water quality, we know we definitely have some issues here on Cape Cod, which is what brings the tourists, right, to the Cape, are these beaches. And we've been talking about this, again, for a number of years, and we're at various stages, I guess, throughout the Cape on how we deal with this problem. What are your thoughts on wastewater?
So wastewater is something that I have a ton of experience in. I was on the original Water Quality Collaborative and working on various multidisciplinary ways of looking at wastewater, looking at shellfish, looking at permeable barriers, looking at different ways of septic treatment. We've got this aquifer on both sides of the bridge that we have to protect. We've got a balanced development. We've got to look in Plymouth where, you know, there's a lot of development going on, and yet there's a really limited capacity. Same thing on both sides of the bridge. It's incredibly expensive. I credit Eric Turkington, former legislator, with getting great, you know, pioneering favorable interest rates and financing. We've got to look at the new creative ideas. We've got to look at the financing, and we've got to look at our population and not just take the first answer, not just say, well, we've got to pay billions, you know, on and put, you know, the sewer everywhere. It's not practical, and it's something that we have the means to do really carefully. And at the State House, we can look at financing that will help municipalities move this forward in a well-planned way that's not heavy on the taxpayers.
What about alternatives? You know, we have these, you know, composting toilets, and, you know, there's all these different technology that's constantly being upgraded. What are your thoughts about that?
There should be continued efforts placed on, you know, reinventing the wheel. This is technology. We have the greatest scientific organizations in the country, in the Plymouth Barnstable District. We have folks who happen to be experts right at our doorstep, and the collaboration that we're doing right now is going to benefit the southeastern Mass area. Is going to benefit the all of Massachusetts, New England. It's growing. These, you know, wood chips, you know, it's who knew, right?
Mm-hmm. So another issue that, you know, we talk about the tourist economy, the restaurants and hotels and things always have trouble with enough help. And it's, you know, H-2B visas, that's a federal thing. But what can we do to help these businesses who, you know, you see the sign in later August when the college kids have gone back, closed, not enough help. How do we help these businesses get the staff they need?
So one of the things that I've been thinking about in terms of local problems is more local problem solving. Is more direct partnerships with the schools. There are, you know, local talent, local kids who might be able to fit, you know, depending on the hours, some jobs in. Certainly in August, it's a great customer service is a great thing for a kid to learn. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it gives them a competence feeling when they, you know, serve folks well or have in the service industries get a little of their own money in mm-hmm. their pockets.
Yeah, so tech schools are doing a great job with that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's I'll tell you, we have. Upper Cape Tech, for example, the tech schools, they are practical. They look at the economy. They look at where the jobs are. We want young people to stay in our area. We want that sustainability. We want families to be able to have their extended family, their children near them, and to be able to earn a living wage. And the tech schools are preparing. You know, Dan Wolf's company was looking for pilots. And mm-hmm. so this, you know, this is where, you know, we pull together and we, you know, we have a need, we solve the need. And that's so many things should be done that way.
We talk about a lot of issues here, but if you're elected, what would be your top priority?
My top priority is probably climate change, because I look at it, the many ways it touches everything. Improving transportation, we have to look more at alternative sources of fuel, electric, that kind of thing. If you, job creation, the blue and green economy, these are things that one thing bears fruit for another at the least investment. It's sort of a bang for the buck idea, where and it's all integrated. So I'm looking at creating programs that will add jobs. I think as we have jobs available, we'll be looking at more creative housing. Folks need to live in the area where they're working. And I think we have to look comprehensively at the municipal government like you would your family budget, and have things, consolidate things, just like at the county government. Really look at opportunities where there are public-private partnerships that come together, where we're less stringent, where we help builders more in terms of affordable housing. We make it a little quicker. Time is money for them. All of those things come together.
Right. Susan Moran, one of the four Democrats who kicked off campaigns to be the next state senator to represent the Plymouth and Barnstable District. The primary is March 3rd, and we will be having conversations with all of the candidates, both the four Democrats and two Republicans. We'll also have links at our website of the schedule of those conversations, and if you missed anything, to hear Susan's remarks again. Susan Moran, thanks so much for being here with us. I appreciate it.
There's more at votemoran.com.
And we'll have links at capeandislands.org. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.